Hello again, Pastor Deborah here, and we are beginning another The School of Light, an educational series for you, so you can learn spiritual truth that will help you spiritually grow and learn. That's right. And once you start spiritually growing and learning, you will begin to transform your soul. And that needs a lot of transformation. Yes, it's an icky, horribly conceived, and it was formed and shaped by this earthly world of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's been in darkness and ignorance of spiritual light. And if it has any spiritual information, it's from the kingdom of darkness. And it doesn't believe in all of this spiritual truth and light that Pastor Deborah brings. But we're going to help it by helping your spirit. And your spirit will grow. And it will help your soul. But this is another The School of Light, an educational series. And we've been working through a section on the website called The Kingdom of Agape Love. We are in the section of Volume 1, Prayer and Fasting. On the sidebar, it's called A Father's Heart, Father's Desires, and A Father's Prophetic Words. You'll see it there when you go to the website of www.agapeloveishere.org. You will see it. It's written out. And in this section, I have been covering Isaiah 61 and soon to be covering Isaiah 62. These were the foundational scriptures in Pastor Deborah's life that helped her to go from being a licensed clinical mental health counselor in the state of Florida and at a national level to helping people the Lord's way through the knowledge and light of a Father's loving heart for humanity, His desires for all of humanity, and His prophetic words He spoke to all of humanity. I had to learn them, read them, write them, study them. And I'm bringing to you what I have learned, how to help people the Lord's way. So in this lesson, we were up to Isaiah 61, verse 6. And we were beginning that when somebody out in this wonderful audience, oh yeah, you, I remember you. Yeah, you had asked me a question, remember? You do, that's wonderful. The question was, how did Pastor Deborah find the entrance to the Garden of Eden that we're in right now? That's right. I didn't know the garden existed. And this young, precious, precious human spirit wanted to know how I got here and how I found it so they could all come. And I would like to give a big welcome to the billions and billions and billions of human spirits from all over the world who are here right now. They are listening to Pastor Deborah. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life for your spirit. The light of the Holy Spirit and His truth rides in my words. He prepares me. He's here with me now, coming through my words to you. In the very presence of God Himself, here in the garden. Did you know yesterday I did a word of encouragement that was so powerful, so adversarial to the God of this earth, the god of the kingdom of darkness, Satan himself. He caused my mouse pad to be turned off. That's right. I had to take my laptop back to Best Buy and have a techie, wonderful techie guy, show me how to fix it. You see, I use these tools and techniques and these inventions of humanity to travel the world in social media. I don't have to have a church building. We're in the garden. I don't have membership. The whole world, all of humanity, is God's membership. He is seeking a family. You. That's right. All of you. All billions of you. Oh, my gosh. I don't know who all of you are. I just know I pray for you. Because there is a word in the Bible from the authorized King James Version that says, if I will ask God for the nations, the people, he will give me the desires of my heart. And my heart desires his desires that he has, that all of humanity will come to hear of him first and come to know of him, believe in him, and accept his free gift of being born again and come into his family and the kingdom of heaven. I'm a messenger sent so you can hear, because he tells us, how could you hear if someone doesn't come to you? Well, we're sort of coming together here in the garden. So I had that precious one over there, yeah, ask me an important question. How did I find the entrance to the Garden of Eden, where we are right now, even as you watch this on YouTube, or you listen to the podcast? How did I know that the garden was here? And that was a wonderful question. Very few people ever asked me that. So I proceeded in talking about and showing you through the Word of God the journey that Pastor Deborah went on. At the time I was on the journey, I did not know much about the garden, except that it had been here, that we had lived in it early in our existence here on earth. Our ancient forefather named man, who had a dirt covering called Adam, which means dark earth, and his helpmate named womb man, woman. They lived in this garden with all of the creatures. It didn't last because the adversary of God, who knew about the garden, who knew the Father's heart, desires, and prophetic words spoken in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, that this young spiritual being, man, and his helpmate, womb man, would be the authoritative leaders, the rulers, the monarchs, the kings. They had ownership, management, shepherding of all of the earth. They were to take this presence of God and the Garden of Eden and extend it out to all the natural world. Because I learned that even at that time, the natural world, almost from its very beginnings, had been a replica of Satan himself. As soon as the words came out of God's mouth and the Holy Spirit started moving, Satan was there. His nature of violence and death and iniquity and transforming things, perverting things, was happening. Because I asked God a long time ago, there was death on earth before man even came. Dinosaurs were eating other dinosaurs. Death was here on planet earth. Now, just last night, I asked God another deep question. did this earth as we know it in its fullness and the solar system reflect the spiritual realm? We heard through the word there's a hell, a Tartarus, a lake of fire, seas of depthness and sorrows, death. And I go, could the core of the earth be a representative of the lake of fire that's in the spirit realm? Could all the caverns, the volcanoes, and the emptiness down there in caves, could that be a representative of hell? I'm asking God deep questions. And I did this early in my journey because I wanted to know. Because we're told in the Word that the Spirit creates the natural world. You speak and it comes forth. But you've already had it up here, and God was trying to help humanity and show us the evilness of Satan and his angels, of what they had done in their thoughts against the kingdom of heaven. Oh, they knew about the lake of fire. They knew about hell, death, and the grave. They did. It was already created. That's right. There were deep seas, and there were deep caverns, and there was already death was already created. And Lucifer, who became Satan, knew about it. But he went ahead anyway, and he had thoughts that were violent and death-filled towards God. And I think, I'm not quite sure yet, I think that God took all of that out of the spirit realm, brought it into the natural, and here we are on planet Earth. A spirit being of another realm, covered with dust of this earth that is diseased filled, and death will take it. And there's wars and ick and everything else. And that represents the very heart and image of Satan, this natural world. So in this lesson, which happens to be part 3 of Isaiah 61 verse 6, about my journey to the entrance of the Garden of Eden and how I found it. But before we begin and we do a quick review, I always like to open up every teaching with prayer. Yes? You would like to pray? Wonderful. All right, everybody, one of you is going to pray for us and for this teaching. Everybody just remain quiet while he prays. I'll bow my head. You don't have to. And what will happen is when he's finished, then I'll close us out. All right, you go right ahead, sweetie. Wonderful. Father, you heard this precious one's words. I ask that you fulfill them. They are genuinely your Father's heart, your Father's desires and prophetic words. Father, make them happen. He's asked for help. He's prayed for the nations. Father, fulfill it in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to begin this lesson, which is Isaiah 61, verse 6, part number 3. And we are going to do a little quick review. I'm going to read Isaiah 61, verse 6 to you, so you'll be reminded where we are. And then I'm going to go into a couple of scriptures and tell you why each of us has to go on this same journey to find the garden and how it works. So you can find it on your own. And you can help other people to find it. All right? So let's read Isaiah 61, verse 6. Let me get it for us. If you see me looking down, it's because I have my Bible and I'm going to be reading to you. Okay? Isaiah 61 out of the King James Bible. Verse number 6. But you, that's all of you out there, shall be named the priest of the Lord. When that young one just prayed, he was acting as a royal priest unto God for all of humanity. He had taken us into the Holy of Holies, right in front of the ark in the presence of God himself, by his prayer. He said, men shall call you the ministers of our God. That means those who are given administration, management, leadership, shepherding of God's words of truth and light, of his presence, of his Holy of Holies. They are ministers of the government of the kingdom of heaven. He calls that his ecclesia, a Greek term, meaning managers. That means they get the word from the leader, the king. Their job is to administrate, manage those words, laws, commandments, statutes, the Father's heart, desires, and prophetic words out to others, to the all the human spirits on planet Earth, all the demonic spirits on planet Earth, to Satan himself, and to all of creation, of nature and animals, the wind and the lightning and the thunder. That's right. They are to be ministers, administrators, leaders, shepherds, guides. That is what a minister of God is. Okay? And he goes on and says, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. The riches of the Gentiles was the rulership of the earth, the resources, the political influence they had. Anything, the Gentiles were the non-believers, and they had riches. And it doesn't just mean money, or oil, or gold, or diamonds. It means their influence here on planet Earth. Also, in the realm that's around the Earth, the governing system. Here, it's called the kingdom of darkness, of ignorance, bewitchment, deception, war, the very heart and nature of Satan himself. Because Satan is taking the pattern from the God of the universe. He is saying, I have my own heart's desires. And my own heart and my own prophetic words are to be the ruler, the king, the God of this earthly world, to provide a governmental system, a kingdom, and to rule and reign all of that land and territory, and the humans and the creatures. They will be subjects, they will be servants, they will not be my children, they will obey me or they will die. And I will have a ruling elite, my ecclesia, that come from the 12 tribes of Israel themselves. And I will call them the Illuminati, the enlightened ones. and their families for generations will rule and ensure that my heart's desires, my heart and prophetic words are fulfilled, just as the Heavenly Father had desired. Satan did the same thing here on planet Earth. In the realm of the spirit that you can see out in the natural world, you can see his anger in storms, death in hurricanes, rules that are no longer effective. God said there would be boundaries for the sea. So when you have those boundaries broken, guess who's at work? So God says that you shall have those riches. You will have that leadership, not them. Then the verse goes on to say, and in their glory, these Gentiles who work for are Satan's children, fulfilling Satan's heart, his desires, and prophetic words, to have a one-world government system spiritually and in the natural, just as God had desired. He says, you, O minister of God, you who are named the priest of the Lord, you will get that glory. And you will boast in that glory, which is his glory. When I succeed as a teacher, he succeeds. If I don't succeed in teaching you spiritually, and your spirit does not get fed and nourished to grow and develop, it's not fed light and truth, it cannot grow. And if it does not grow, it cannot transform and take the soul and take its rightful place as the king, the ruler of this three-part system of physical body, of soul and spirit. Let me tell you a quick story how that what that looks like. Years ago, I had gone to a church, and the pastor was talking about the ministries that they were doing both in the local community and around the world. They told wonderful stories about orphanages and schools, about feeding people, helping people find homes, doing counsel with them. And it sounded so good. I was quite impressed. And at the end of it, he said, back in the back, there was a sign-up sheet. And there was more information about all their ministries they were doing. And if we felt called in our heart to help them with their ministries, then we should join the church and get on a team or a ministry and fulfill our calling by helping them to fulfill what they're doing. He did an excellent job. I was impressed. He was very clear. You didn't feel like you were being pressured to join the church and become a member. So when it was over, well, that was his whole message, his whole sermon. So I went out to the car when church was over, after he had given an altar call, and some people came forward to join the church. Okay. So I went to my car and I turned on my radio. And I was listening to another pastor, preacher, teach on angels. While I'm sitting there waiting for my son, who was at another church, to go to lunch, during the time this radio preacher was talking, teaching on angels, I see my spirit hand do this. Reached over to the center console, picked up something that looked like lamb or chicken, and my spirit hand did this to my spirit. While I was listening to the teaching, my spirit was eating meat, lamb or chicken. I was being fed spiritually. Truth. Can't remember what he said, but I recognized what was doing. Now, in the natural, I was doing nothing but sitting there. Then, after that happened for a little while, a golden hand appeared. with a cup in it, a golden, beautiful cup. And I heard this voice say to me, now that you have eaten, now we can have common union. We can take holy common union. We can be one when you drink of the wine, the blood of Christ. So here's this cup, and I take it, and I drink. And it was real wine, very sweet and beautiful. And I go, what just happened? I learned that day when I went to the first church, I took an empty plate to go to a buffet to be fed both bread, food, meat, and then to have a toast and common union with the blood of Christ. It didn't happen. I walked away empty. And God said to me, you haven't even been fed today. The pastor didn't teach spiritual food. He just talked about his church. His church. What his church was doing. The ministries. There was no truth in it about or from the Word of God. So God was upset. Even though I believed in my soul, it was a good teaching about the ministries of the church. But he was not happy. He said, you did not get fed today. And then I listened to another one, and I started getting fed. God takes pastors and preaching and teaching very seriously. And if all you talk about is your ministries, what you're doing with your church, and how you're handing out food, and you're getting in the trenches with the people, and other people who just teach spiritual things are just no earthly good. I just heard that yesterday on a live show, and how they degraded a spiritual teaching, that meant nothing to humanity. Because it's really no earthly good. It doesn't solve rent problems. It doesn't solve natural food problems. It doesn't seem to get anybody into housing. It doesn't seem to counsel anybody. They were making fun. They probably would have made fun of Christ Jesus. They believe that Christ Jesus himself took care of earthly things. But God was demonstrating in all of those events the power and authority of the Spirit through the kingdom of heaven's authority and power, through the kingdom of God's influence on earth, what a spiritual being can do. Pastor Deborah has been told most of her earthly life, you're no earthly good. I gave food at the food pantry. I prayed over it. I gave clothes, donations, worked the food lines, worked the conferences, walked the streets, prayed with people. Didn't change anybody spiritually. Oh, they were thankful for food, for socialization, whatever you could give them for free. They were happy for that. But their spirits were not changed. No drug dealer came to the Lord during that time. It didn't reach out to the nations. It didn't do any casting out of devils. It didn't give words of truth when you gave peanut butter or rice. Didn't teach their soul how to be transformed. It didn't do anything. So Pastor Deborah had to learn the hard way. Just because Pastor Deborah is a powerful teacher now, doesn't mean I was like that when I began. I didn't know. I tried the world's way, the church way, religion's way. Didn't work. So now I had to learn how to be a minister of God, a royal priest unto humanity, to God, how to pray correctly, how to know the Father's heart, know his desires and prophetic words, how to pray them. Every time I work with people, I pray, Father, fulfill Isaiah 61 and 62 in their lives. These are powerful scriptures I had to learn. So here in verse 6, we are learning. You yourself, once you get Isaiah 61 and God's working in you, you will become something. So we were working in that when the question was asked, how did I find the entrance to the Garden of Eden? See, I can have one level of understanding of this. And that's where most religions, Bible schools, earthly, carnal, soulish pastors and teachers work. They don't ever go to the garden. They don't move in the spirit, but they do. But when they come on live shows, do videos, their church, they're just in the natural. They're just talking to the soul. Because their soul has not had a Hebrews 4:12 experience yet. It's not separated, divorced from the soul. So now I want to take you to some scriptures that now when I read them, I can see the journey I was on. And I want you, so when you read them, you'll begin to understand. Then we'll continue on where we were. So let me get that for us. So now let's go to Proverbs 25, beginning with verse 2 through 5. Once again, we are in the Authorized King James Version of the Bible. As you may know or may not know, I use that one only. I started with that when I was 3 or 4 years old. It has no commentaries on the side. It wasn't written by anybody. It's not added to. Because originally there was, in England, the Vulgate. There was the Latin Vulgate Bible. There was the Bishop's Bible. And there was the Geneva Bible. The Latin Vulgate Bible was of the Catholic Church. It was written in Latin. If you didn't speak Latin, Greek, or Hebrew, you couldn't read it. And there's a lot of great movies on the website about how people thought that the common person should be able to read the Bible in their own language. Well, the Catholic Church, which at that time was being controlled by Satan, who was going to control the word, would kill you, burn you at the stake if you even spoke the Bible in your own language. You'll read about that in the God's Outlaw, John Huss, William Tyndale, who were trying to translate the Bible into common languages of the people of different nations. And the Catholic Church burned them at the stake. They were not going to allow the common people to have the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful, it will change lives. And it will open up the kingdom of darkness. It will reveal Satan and what he's doing if you get it. So the King James, he became the King of England and Scotland. And he didn't like the Geneva Bible, which was written by the Puritans, which is another great story to follow. Cromwell, who was a Puritan, who didn't like kings and all that stuff. You'll see them when they wear black and white. They didn't like jewelry and gold and stuff. Didn't like the monarchy. And that is still carried on in many religions where they will call holiness movements, fundamental people. And they won't have a king, but they'll follow a prophet. Well, that was... There were commentaries all in the Bibles about against kings and majesty and royalty. And King James didn't like that because he was king. And also the Bible talks about being a king. King James had a Catholic mother, but he was brought up by a Protestant teacher. He believed the Holy Spirit would be your interpreter. Nobody else should make comments. Now, he read Greek and Hebrew. He could look up the words. Then he would ask the Holy Spirit, what did that mean? Then there was the Bishop's Bible, and that was written by former Catholic priest who, when that battle came in England under Henry VIII, they chose to become Protestant priest, and they took the Latin Bible and put it into the English language eventually, but it was so poorly translated. King James didn't like that either. So he gathered all of these wonderfully educated people together and said, translate the original Bible out of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. No commentaries, just translate the word. The Holy Spirit will do the interpretation and the commentary himself. And that's how the King James, the authorized King James version of the Bible came out, which Pastor Deborah studies and reads. Now, there are a lot of these and thous, but eventually you'll change them. I don't know what all the words mean. I do look it up in the Strong's Concordance and a Webster's Dictionary. And then usually I go, okay, I still don't know what you're really spiritually trying to tell me. So then God will use nature, movies, fairy tales, stories, true stories, circumstances, videos, songs, art, anything that he chooses to use to help me understand the spiritual reality, the spiritual truth behind the words. So I trust him to teach me and to show me so I am not ignorant. He does not want you ignorant of his word. It's so powerful. It's about a hidden world, things that you don't normally think about and you can't see with the eyes of your soul or your mind of your soul, and you have no clue. And then if you did, you probably wouldn't believe it anyway. Those two pastors who were on this live show yesterday, they just thought it was useless. And people who taught spiritually about spiritual things and didn't do anything in the natural to help people. Get down in the trenches with them. Give them food. Help them to praise and worship. Bring them into a building. Play all this music that just affects their soul. That's all that is. That's all most of the music is. It's for the soul. So the soul will feel good. You never heard Christ Jesus sing a song. He taught. He taught. He was a teacher. He taught. He demonstrated things that he was teaching. First, he would teach on the kingdom. And then he would demonstrate the power and authority of the kingdom here on earth. He moved in all the spiritual gifts given to him by the Holy Spirit. The religious leaders hated him because he was doing something that was not religion. People were following him and not them. He seemed to have some kind of powers that they didn't have. People were not given to the temple. They weren't coming anymore. They were following this young man. And when he talked in the temples, he just put them in the dirt. He accused them of being religious, blind, deaf, sons who did not follow their father. He was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. He demonstrated what he taught. A lot of people think that when he says raising the dead, there are times he raised Lazarus. What was he demonstrating? The power of the kingdom of heaven to raise physically a physical body again, if that was God's choice. But behind that was a spiritual truth. I will raise the spiritually dead out of the graves, the grave clothes and the tomb. They will walk out. And he demonstrated that on his own self. When the Holy Spirit entered him, when his body laid in the tomb, brought his spirit back, he walked out. God is not going to leave us alone. He's going to show you his heart, his desires, and prophetic word before it happens. These people were all unbelievers. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit in them to believe. They were soulish believers. They weren't born again yet. But once he came out of the tomb and he rebreathed the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, into his 12 disciples, now their spirits would come alive again out of the grave of death, ignorance out of the soul. And his words of raising the dead came true. It's a spiritual truth. He was trying to demonstrate in the natural. So let's get into Proverbs 25:2. I just now saw this. I've used 25:2 for a long time for telling you how and why God hides things from us. But just listen, and then we'll finish with that today and get in deeper in the next part. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, a thing. But it is the honor of kings," Pastor Deborah, all of humanity is a spiritual king, waiting to discover that, be birthed back into it, grow and learn, and become an adult, a king, not a prince in waiting. He said, "It is the honor of kings is to search out this hidden matter that God has hidden." Verse 3, "The heaven for height and the earth for depth." There's powerful right there. "And the heart of kings is unsearchable." Verse 4, "Take away the dross from the silver," he is saying. Your heart, your spirit, has dross in it. It's not silver yet. "And there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." When the dross is taken away, the ignorance, the darkness, the impurities, and it is separated from the soul, then the spirit is ready to be learned, to grow for the finer, the Holy Spirit, to work on it and fashion it and help it. Verse number 5, "Take away the wicked from before the king." All that in the soul is wicked. All that ignorance is wicked. All that is unknown, all that dross is wicked to the spirit. It must be taken away. When the spirit is in death, in the grave, covered with grave clothes, that all must be taken away. "And there shall come forth a vessel." Take away that wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Pastor Deborah has a throne, a seat of majesty, where I am authority and have dominion in the kingdom of heaven. I sit on the right hand of God. When God turns to the right hand, he sees his son, Christ Jesus, and in him is Pastor Deborah. Because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. I sit on the right hand of God as the King of heaven. But I couldn't see that because all the wicked dross that was around me. As long as that wicked dross and junk is on you and in you, surrounding you, and not taken away, and you have not had the finer's, the jeweler's hand working on you, providing light and knowledge through experiences, through revelations of the word, then you cannot see what's hidden from you, because he is not going to reveal it to you unless you're a seeker. He's not going to open it up to you unless you're truly looking and want to know the truth. Do you ask God, what's going on? Why do people do this? Why are they acting this way? How did they get this way? What's the history behind it? What's really going on with politicians? A lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on, why they do what they do, why they support what they support, why they turn away and don't look at some things, and they stay this way. What are they after? Who's behind them? What God are they serving? Whose heart and desires and prophetic words are they trying to fulfill? If you don't ask those questions, then you're not seeking. You're not an archaeologist. You're not digging. You've got to go back to your ancestors, back into the past. You must understand humanity. You must understand God, Satan, the adversaries, earth. What is this life all about? Most people don't do that. They just want to be entertained, have fun. That's all. They don't want to be responsible. They just want to have fun. Enjoyment. They don't even want to finish high school. They don't even want to learn to read or write. And some are not permitted by religion to read and write. Why? Once you can read and write, you might become a threat. You can't be told what to do anymore. Some religions are so powerful. They control everything you do, what you wear, the kind of clothes, who you're going to worship, and you're going to get married at 12. And when there's too many boys, they kick them out. Mm-hmm. The elders control. Yeah, but if you're not seeking, you're not looking for hidden things. You're not seeking as a prince. You want to understand what that looks like? You go watch The Sword in the Stone, a Walt Disney production about a young boy trying to understand nature and things with Merlin. He becomes a squirrel. He becomes other things to understand. You want to go watch another movie? Go watch Excalibur, The Sword. Mm-hmm. Just came out a couple years ago. I think the guy that played in a movie called Sons of, television series called The Sons of Anarchy plays Arthur. And he didn't want to look at what had happened to his family. He didn't want to see in the spirit. He needed help of a spiritual person to do battle against what was evil in the land. Because to the people, they didn't see what the real thing was. Excellent movie to watch. If you want power, you must kill that which you love. And this man did. Go watch movies like that. Go watch The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings. Watch about how one ring would rule all of Middle Earth, all the people, the resources, and then the one who desired not to serve anyone would rule. Mm-hmm. God works through movies. Go watch The Matrix, the trilogy, even the Star Wars trilogy. You'll see deception of politicians, how they turn somebody who has a broken heart. Go watch them. God is speaking to these people in dreams. He's speaking to the graphic artist to depict what it looks like. We think it's just entertainment. But people went in and they looked deep at The Matrix. And people are looking. The guy that wrote Narnia, C.S. Lewis, powerful Christian man. The man who wrote The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien, Christian. Alice in Wonderland. Go watch them. Ask God to show you what's going on. Watch biographies of real people. Watch World War II movies. Watch Hitler, his propaganda. Study. It's all out on YouTube. Seek. So Pastor Deborah was doing that. She didn't know at this time she was a king. She knew there were things I didn't understand. So I was asking. I knew I had to have the dross taken away. And I had to have things added to me and shaped and formed. I knew that. I knew there was a throne of righteousness for me. But at the beginning, I was not ready to sit in it. I was a young prince or princess. I had teachers and tutors. I was under church pastors until the time when God said, you can be, you're finished with school, sort of, but I can remove you now and you will only be under me, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. I had been on the prayer teams, the deliverance teams, sat in the pew, obeyed God every step of the way, saw things I never could tell people about till now. I saw big principalities of the whole Southeast, United States of America, come into the president of a Bible college of the Southeast, stand on the platform and look over his territory. How could he do that? Because the way had been paved through praise and worship and songs and people who were serving him. Because wherever God is at work, the enemy is there. God has entered into the earth spiritually and in the natural, into the enemy's territory. So Pastor Deborah began finding and looking for something, but she didn't know that it was going to end up in the Garden of Eden. And I want to close out right here. And we will continue in part number 4 with the continued journey of what I learned after the entrance had been administered and shown and revealed to me. Then God showed me what I had done, been through, what had to be taken away, what had to be added. And you can get there too. You go read this. And you ask God to take away everything out of you, out of your spirit, out of your soul, even out of your physical body that's not of Him. If you get there, death has no right. Now, I just learned once you get at a certain level spiritually, your spirit has a life-giving spirit of healing. And your spirit can release that into your soul if your soul will accept it. And it will release that as a helpmate to your physical body. It's hard to believe that you yourself can bring healing to yourself. That's right. I'm in a battle right now with family. I did not get the earthly vaccination against COVID. COVID, the actual initial original virus God created, it was in bats. It's there for if He desired to use it. But a nation with a dragon took it and through something called gain of function, twisted it, perverted it, added, and send it out. Purposely. And it has demonics added to it. Death. Control. Now that battle's raging on right now. All over the world. It has bigger purposes than. One purpose is to kill people who are in the way. Others is to control people. Get them to submit. Well, I went to God. I said, what do I do? I asked him what was in this virus. Did he really? And here's what he said. He created the original virus that was not enhanced through gain of function. Humanity, Satan, did the gain of function. And they released it and added demonic spirits to it. And no earthly vaccine will ever be able to prevail against it. And if you take the vaccine, you're doing exactly what the dragon wants. You're submitting. Now they're starting to control you if you're not vaccinated. My family fights with me, and I keep telling them, I went to God, and God vaccinated me. I felt the power I felt come into my spirit. Because it's a spiritual vaccination. And it went into my soul and my biological body. Now I'm in a different position. I'm not going to be traveling on airplanes anymore. And I really don't care if I see my son and my granddaughter in the natural. I see them in the spirit. I work with them. I'm not going to be going to ball games and concerts. I don't care about going out to eat in restaurants anymore. I wear a mask when I go to Walmart. But I'm in a battle. And I even have my daughter-in-law, even husband, angry. Now, they're fearful for me that I might die. And I have to combat that and stay in love. I live in a different realm spiritually. I am aware of it. I take the precautions. Now they're saying you may have to get another booster shot. Germs have been used in biological warfare against enemies. It will kill many of them, and the others will be subdued into subjection, control, and manipulation. And that's all a part of Satan's plan to form a one-world government where there are the elites and everybody else is submitted. Because he is preparing his government to be all over the world. No nations. Oh, you can have nations. But everybody lives in fear and terror. One, isolation. I won't be liked. I won't be able to do anything. Won't be able to have any fun. What are my kids going to do? Go to charter schools. Stay at home. Save money. But most people live in the soul. Not Pastor Deborah. If you cannot get the vaccination, pray to God and ask him to help you. He may choose to vaccinate you himself. Don't know. I didn't know what to do. I had to pray to him. And I got family members who are believers and they don't believe God does it. And they keep telling me, well, shouldn't you use your biological mind that God gave you? No. I've had to trust God with my life. I've been shot at. My car's been shot at. Bullet holes in it. Almost killed by a car running a red light. Had heart problems looking at heart transplant. I've been almost stabbed in my own home by somebody I was trying to help. I have had to go to God for my very own life. And once I know he's got my back, I tell death, you cannot take me, you cannot have me, till I do my last video, pray my last prayer, and I will lay my head down, go to sleep, and I will be gone. You won't take me. I will give it up when it's time. I have an attitude that most people don't have. I don't have the same desires for family, the world stuff as most people. I gave that all up years ago to serve and help the Father get his heart's desires and his prophetic words fulfilled. All right, I'll see you again. Next, School of Light, an educational series from Pastor Deborah.